Good morning, everyone. We especially just want to welcome all those who are joining us online. You probably, some may know this, some may not, but we are, as a Church Emmanuel Fellowship, is meeting outside for the summer months. We're still doing that. We don't know how long that's going to last, but hopefully for a few more weeks. But because of that, we are tending to make the messages a little bit shorter. And in case you've been wondering that, wow, it just seems like the message is a little bit shorter than they were maybe back 4 or 5 months ago. But probably at some point they will, you know, get back to what I consider more normal. So anyway, one of the things we've been talking about in the last several weeks is how we are living in uncertain times. And really, you don't need me to tell you that. I mean, you know, just look around and there's things going on all the time. But we really shouldn't be surprised at this because the scriptures make it very clear that there will be a shaking at the end of this age. Now, we don't know how long that shaking is going to be. Is it going to be for a generation or two generations? Is it going to go in spurts? We don't know that. But we do know that there's going to be a shaking. We see that in Hebrews 12. We see it twice in Haggai chapter 2. We talked about that last week. You can listen to it if you didn't. But it's a shaking that's not just going to rattle the nations, but it's designed to shake away everything that can be shaken so that only those things that are unshakable may remain, like the kingdom of God or the values and priorities of the kingdom of God, that which is eternal. And we also have seen that it's not just the nations, but it's also the household of God. God is doing something. There's a shaking, a pruning, a purifying. There's many different pictures given in the scriptures. It is painful, and it will continue to be painful, I believe, to see many of the things that we've trusted in, that we've had confidence in, come crumbling down. You know, institutions, economies, ways we've been doing things, you know, even what seem to be stable governments. And by the way, I'm not making any political predictions or anything like that. I'm just stating what the scriptures say. And, you know, one of the things, I'm not so sure how much what we can do to really prevent this from happening, you know, in all this. If all this that we're seeing is part of that divine shaking, it's important, most important, is our response. And our response should not be to jump in with denial or anger or some type of blame shifting. God has called us for something much higher. We're actually called to be light in the midst of a world that's getting darker and darker. We are called to show the world the love of Christ, to show the world the gospel, to show the love, that God's placed inside of us that we have for one another, and also love for our neighbor. And by the way, our neighbor is defined in the Good Samaritan as someone that includes people who are not like us, of other races, colors, you know, even religions. We're to show the love of Christ to everyone. Now, of course, when we talk about God's shaking, we don't know the exact timing that God has. You know, things may get better. They may even get much better for a while. Or this could all just be a preview of the shaking that's really going to be coming a little bit later. And somehow this, the period that we're going through right now is designed to start helping us to think in a different way, perhaps. Or this could be just the beginning of things that are going to get a lot worse. We just don't know. But in some ways, it really doesn't matter, because we need to learn to respond in Christ-likeness, in crisis, in pressure, regardless. Even if this is just a little, you know, a temporary thing. But one thing I do know for sure is that this is a day of opportunity for the church. So it's important that we have our hearts, that we have pure hearts, and that we have our eyes open to see the coming harvest. And I think also another thing that God's doing with the church is that he has called us to be a house of prayer for all the nations. And when we kind of look around the world, we look at the hatred, we look at the natural disasters, we look at the racism, we look at the political polarization, the corruption. And by the way, not just in the United States, but around the world, they all need the attention. All this needs the attention of God's people. We need to be praying fervently. And may the Lord show us how we can pray about the things going around us. Okay, so today I want to look at two verses, Philippians 1, 27 and 28. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Okay, so the main message here, of course, is to stand firm. And it's a calling that God is exhorting us. We need to learn how to stand firm. And by the way, standing firm is mentioned in other places in the scriptures. In Ephesians 6, which is actually just the chapter before this, in the book of Ephesians, three times we are called to stand firm. We're called to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We are called to stand firm, or it says that we might be able to resist in the evil day, standing firm. And, you know, the evil day, I mean, you know, what's the evil day? I mean, I'm sure there's been many evil days throughout history, but today is certainly, you know, qualifies for that. So we need to learn to resist and stand firm. And then it says we're also to stand firm in putting on the whole armor of God. So standing firm, obviously, is an exhortation to do so in the context of being attacked, you know, and, you know, that we will not give up ground, that we will not be shaken, that we will, you know, we're not going to be pushed back. And we are under attack, aren't we? And we'll continue to be in the days and years ahead, against the onslaught of evil, confusion, demonic activity. That's right. You know, everything's going to get attacked. But we are told to stand firm in the midst of that. You know, here in verse 27, it's interesting because it specifically speaks of standing firm in regard to our, what does it say? Our conduct. That's our behavior. Actually, 1 Timothy 4 talks about our conduct, and it's thrown in with our speech, our love, our faith, our purity. These are the things in which primarily we need to stand firm in. Because when we see all the things happening around us, we need to ask ourselves, what does our speech say about us? Are we grumbling and complaining? Is there anger? Is there lashing out? In times like this, are we really showing genuine love for people? Or are we showing a lack of love? What about our faith? Is it being rattled? What about our purity? And that's purity in thought, purity in speech, purity in motivations. We're to stand firm in our conduct. We're not going to be pushed around. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to start justifying little retreats, but we're going to stand firm in what we've been called to, especially in our godly behavior. Another thing this verse talks about, it specifically speaks of our spiritual unity, doesn't it? It says, stand firm in one spirit with one mind, or some translations will say with one soul. Remember, in times of pressure, in times of confusion and uncertainty, the devil will exploit these times for his purposes, to try to discourage us, to bring disillusionment, and to divide us. Times of crisis reveal the depth of our spiritual unity. Our unity is going to be tested. So here, the admonition is to stand firm in unity, in one spirit, with one mind. And it says, and to do it together. You know, and we need to see, we're in this season. God has called us in this season together as believers. And we need to stand firm together. We need one another, especially in days like this. But we do need to realize that we have an adversary who wants to divide us. We need to be on the alert. And as Hebrews 3 says, we need to be encouraging one another day by day, that we don't somehow fall into the deceitfulness of sin. In this verse, it also speaks of striving together for the faith of the gospel. Again, it's doing so together, working and striving for the faith of the gospel. This is the season to stand firm in our in sharing our faith. Because if we feel kind of rattled, many people who don't know the Lord, they are being shaken down to the core. They're asking a lot of questions. They're asking, what is life all about? What is reality? What's my purpose here on earth? What can I trust in? And this gives us, the church, just unbelievable opportunity to share the love of Christ with people, to share the gospel. And so we need to have our eyes open for those opportunities and to be expecting that. And I really believe that God's going to give us unprecedented opportunities. Keep our eyes open. Remember, that's what Jesus told his disciples in John 4. When he was talking to the woman at the well, they'd gone in for food. They come back and they're talking about, we need something to eat. And he says, I've got food that you don't even know about. And they said, what is he talking about? He knew that this woman, this Samaritan woman, by the way, had just given her life to him. And she went into the town and she was telling everyone. And it said that many people from that village or from that town came to know Jesus. So much so that Jesus stayed there with his disciples several more days. But in the midst of that, Jesus says, open your eyes and look out, because there's a harvest coming. And that's what Jesus wants to say to us today too. Okay, verse 28, it says, in no way alarmed by your opponent, which is a sign of destruction for them. See, here's the thing. When we stand firm in the areas that we've talked about, in our conduct, our speech, our faith, our love, our purity, and we do so with one mind and one spirit, that sense of panic, that sense of alarm begins to melt away. And all of a sudden we have confidence. God is in control. God's doing something bigger than we are. And our standing firm actually becomes a sign of destruction for our enemies, for our opponents. It's amazing, because we're talking about something supernatural happening here. We're talking about one of the most powerful weapons needed today and in the days to come for the church to hold on to. And that weapon is standing firm and to do it together. By the way, I think we've said it, but let's say it again. Standing firm is not something that we're called to do solo by ourselves. It's not. In this context, he's talking about together, in one spirit, with one mind. Ephesians 6 that we're talking about. The context of Ephesians is what? The glorious church. And even when he gets to Ephesians 6, he's using we. And he's saying, you all, plural. This is a corporate thing that we're called together to do, to stand firm. And I'm not so sure the church has really tapped into this. And that's one reason why it's so important to be plugged into a church that is experiencing and pursuing community, biblical community. Standing firm, the Greek word is stecho, and it means to stand firm in faith and duty, to be constant, to persevere, to be steadfast, and to maintain a steadfastness of mind. See, it's a way of thinking. It's a mindset. It's something that becomes part of us in our heart and in our mind. And it's only possible as the life of Christ is living through us, right? But this being steadfast in mind and heart, obviously we have to do it individually, but that's just part A. Part B is then to learn to do that together. One of my all-time favorite verses is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." I think that's a great verse for us in today's world, to be steadfast, immovable. That's another way of saying stand firm, isn't it? And also, that word steadfast and immovable also suggests that we are not shakable. And that's important in a world where it seems like everything's being shaken. And we're going to see a lot of things shaken, but our faith is not going to be shaken. In fact, our resolve is to stand firm, be steadfast, immovable, not to be shaken. You know, it's like trees that live on the side of mountains where there's a lot of wind. They're some of the strongest trees on the planet. And why is that? Because they've gone through the storm. And the storm with all the blowing and everything makes their roots go deeper, and it makes them be steadfast. And so shaking, another way to say that is the storms. And we're seeing some storms. We're going to see more storms, not just in the world, but probably individually. That's something that's going to happen. So we can look at the days that we're in and the days that are coming as something to be dreaded, avoided, to be worried about, to be anxious about, maybe even to be fearful of. That's one response. And by the way, we talked about a couple weeks ago, we should not be anxious for anything, right? Or the other way is that we can see the days in which we've been called to live as really some of the most exciting days of human history. I really believe that. And standing firm is something that when we do it, something happens supernaturally. His peace begins to flood our life. His joy. We have the ability to be able to love others. There's a place of rest and contentment. Yeah, there's a lot of storms, shaking going on. But in the midst of that, we're living a supernatural life. And we're doing it in the presence of God, because God's presence, his life is filling us. Something supernatural is happening. And so, brothers and sisters, we have two choices in which we can live in our generation. We can live as maybe we have been, the way that most people do, and sadly, the way maybe most Christians are doing, in fear, dread, oh, what's going to happen, you know, anxiety, you know, always worried. And by doing so, we don't have our eyes open. We don't see the harvest. Or we can see these days through eyes of faith, by standing firm, being steadfast, immovable, not being shaken. And when we do that, something supernatural happens. Let's pray. Father, Lord, We thank you for the days that we're living in. Lord, there's times when we feel pain, when we see things, or maybe we see people being shaken. But on the other hand, Lord, when we kind of see it from your point of view, we see something totally different. In fact, Lord, these are days that you want to fill our lives with a supernatural joy, rejoicing, peace, a supernatural love for people, an ability to be able to share your gospel and to share the love that you've loved us with, and so much that you even died at the cross for us. Lord, that's the life that we choose to live. And Lord, we admit that there's a lot of things we don't know. We're very weak, but we ask that you would supply that supernatural dimension and allow us to be able to stand firm in the days that we've been called, that we would stand firm and together with one another, that we'd stand firm in godly behavior, all the things that we've talked about. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.